Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
My name is Andy, and this is the most magical podcast on earth. When I'm not on holiday at Walt Disney World, I'm planning a holiday to Disney. And when I'm not planning a holiday to Disney, I'm talking about Disney with other UK fans like me who make the trip to Orlando and the House of the Mouse. So whether you're a parks professional or a Florida first timer, this is the podcast for you. Each episode, I'll be chatting to other Disney superfans to share memories of their magical times, answering your Walt Disney World questions, getting you all the latest news from the parks, and finding out what's happening right now in Orlando. So get your ears on as we take you to the most magical place on earth. This is the most magical podcast on earth as part of the Secret Recordings Network. Make sure you're following us on the socials, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok. We are at Pod Magical. And of course, if you're going over to Walt Disney World at any time, make sure you tag us in your socials as well. Then we can share your journeys and be envious. We can live your Disney World holiday through you on social media. Any questions you've got about upcoming trips as well, feel free to drop them over there. That's what Heather has done. Andy, looking forward to our trip next year in spring. If you could only do one character dining buffet, which one would it be? And which one do you think gives best value for money? Very good question. I've always had a bit of a think about this because my favourite character dining constantly changes. I do love Garden Grill at Epcot with Chip and Dale and Mickey and Pluto because I love the food in there. Then I did think that Minnie's Beach Bash over at the Beach Club Resort, I always thought that gave best value for money because it used to be $25. $25 for breakfast. And like I say, if you go at the end of breakfast, it's kind of like almost lunchtime. You could really drag it out. For $25, characters and food and buffet was brilliant. They've put the price of that up now. And I think, if I'm not mistaken, all the character dining, especially like at breakfast time, I think it's all the same price. It's $42, $43, $45 around that part. So they're pretty much all the same price. So I would say now the best value for money in terms of good food and character interaction, not a buffet, is actually Topolino's Terrace to go and see the characters up there and make sure you order as much as you want or as much as you can get away with off the menu because it's not a buffet and a lot of people think you can only order one item and like steak is on the menu there. So if you book your last available slot for breakfast, which would be like 11:45, you can make a kind of an early lunch out of that, have steak and have something else as a side dish and get the pastries. You can really eat a lot of food there and good character interaction. So I think asking me that now, best character for best value for money, I would go Topolino's Terrace. Let me know what you do, Heather. And of course, if you've got any questions yourself or you'd like to be a podcast guest, do drop me a message, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, at Pod Magical. That's what Callum's done. He's been twice in the last year or so. Let's chat about his trip, shall we? On this episode of the podcast, let's say hello to Callum, who has just come back from his second trip within a year. Callum?
Second trip within a year. I said it wouldn't happen, but famous last words.
So you went in, was it November at the end of last year?
Yeah, so November going into December, so Thanksgiving week.
And then back again then, this summer.
Yeah, end of July into the start of August.
What was it that made you want to go back so soon? Because a lot of people say, oh, you know, once a year, once every other year. But I mean, twice in a year?
I mean, I think our initial words were once in a lifetime. So those didn't age particularly well.
Yeah.
I think it was, and I'm sure this is a running theme with a lot of people who have been recently. Obviously, we did it at the end of last year when there were still COVID restrictions in place.
Mm-hmm.
So obviously, you had to do a test to go there. While we were there, the testing requirements changed to come back to the UK. Obviously, masks everywhere in Disney, not so much in Universal, but Disney World, you just had to wear a mask everywhere you went inside. So we wanted to kind of experience it without all of those restrictions. And we thought, you know what, there's no time like the present. We're still like, we've got all the information still on the top of our heads. Let's just go for it. So we went back this summer.
Did you find it the second time normal, or were there still a few? Because obviously,
when you went, Fantasmic wasn't back, was it? And a few other
things. So we were holding on to the slightly slim possibility that we might have Fantasmic this summer, but obviously just missed it. We found, though, for the most part, I mean, I never went pre-COVID, so I couldn't really compare it to, you know, Disney World normality. While my other half, she had been. She felt that it felt quite similar to how it was. Apart from, like you say, just some kind of minor changes to shows, a lack of Fantasmic, stuff like that. But no, I mean, it loads of people mingling together. It was great. It was like being back in normal civilization.
So in November, that was your first ever time at Disney World?
First ever time, yeah, and quickly caught the bug.
So had you kind of like been built up to how amazing this place was going to be by your girlfriend, or did she let you discover it yourself?
Yeah, well, I mean, she had obviously built it up for ages, particularly when we were initially discussing booking it. But I mean, obviously everyone talks about it. Anyone who's been over there comes back and it's, you know, standard workplace chat. You hear all these great stories about what experience it is, how magical it is, all of that. So I'd had years almost of anticipation. Very weirdly, I remember as a kid, like this is a completely random anecdote, but you know when you used to have like wet play at school, and they used to have these books out, and one of them was like, I don't know what they did at my primary school, but one of them was like a travel guide to Florida. So I just remember seeing all these pictures of Epcot. So when I was a kid, I thought, I just want to go and see this massive golf ball. That was weirdly the biggest kind of anticipation build-up. I mean, that's what, 20-odd years. So
was there any ever a chance of you going as a kid, or was that never on the cards?
No, we were very much a staycation kind of family. So, yeah. You know, a lot of Western Supermare. Breen Leisure Park's great, obviously, but doesn't really compare to Disney World. It's only slightly off. But yeah, not the most accurate comparison. So no, I mean, as soon as I reached adulthood kind of thing, that's when it became a more realistic possibility.
And how many times has your girlfriend been?
Oh God, I mean, she must have been 4 or 5 times as a kid. Obviously not just Disney World, Disneyland Paris as well. Yeah. I think she was quite a regular visitor. Again, it had been a few years since she last went.
And did she notice a change when she went this time round?
I think she seemed more fixated on the things that were still the same. So, you know, like the PhotoPass locations. I don't know if PhotoPass was a thing back then, but, you know, recognizing those kind of vantage points for the best shots of the castle. Some of the character meet and greets, obviously when we went in December, that still wasn't a thing, or if it was, it was from a distance. So, you know, racking her brains to remember those kind of bits more than anything.
Because I usually ask, you know, what do you remember about your first time? And when was your first time? But it wasn't even a year ago. So what do you remember about your first trip?
Well, that's my memory. It's kind of, I was going to talk a bit later about the one of my favourite things about Disney being the complete immersion that you have. So that was one of the things that first struck me, kind of walking up, well, even getting to the monorail in the first place, but then walking off the monorail at Magic Kingdom and just being hit by that kind of feeling that you're in a different world. You know, the sights, the smells, the noise, hustle and bustle, all of that kind of thing. Just looking down Main Street USA and obviously seeing the castle right at the end, just that first kind of wave of like, okay, this is, you know, I've entered into a portal here, into some other kind of universe. So that's the kind of overriding memory from the very first like day at Disney World. I can remember every detail. Just getting lost, not at Magic Kingdom, but going to Epcot and getting lost in the World Showcase, you know, experiencing all those different kinds of cultures, the food, the theming, that kind of thing. That sticks out massively to me as well as one of the kind of first huge takeaways from that first trip.
What was Epcot like? Was it like what you were expecting from that school book?
I mean, I got to see the massive golf ball. So, you know, seeing Spaceship Earth, I think that was the only thing I had to tick off my list when we went there. But no, I mean, obviously, I'd heard all these stories from speaking to colleagues who had been there about how, you know, you really buy into the World Showcase as, you know, like a World's Fair type thing. So visiting all the different schools, I think, really lived up to the expectation that had been planted in my mind. Didn't get around to drinking around the world, though, which was a disappointment on a personal level. That was the one I'd heard all the stories about.
Next time.
It was amazing. I know, let the side down.
Well, as we're on the subject of drink, I'm guessing you ate at Walt Disney World. Did you have a favourite place to eat?
Oh, I absolutely did. It was actually a recommendation of yours, I think. Chef Art Smith's Homecoming, which
you're welcome.
Might be, like, I am very, very grateful. Might be one of my favorite restaurants ever. Everything about that, from, you know, the chicken dinner, the shine cake, the hummingbird cake, incredible. Second time around, one of my favorite restaurants was the Sci-Fi Drive-In Theater.
Okay. I mean,
the theming is just obviously on another level, and the food was great as well. I mean, I kind of thought maybe we were just going there to experience sitting in the back of the car, and the food was, you know, it's going to be there. But no, it's great. Really enjoyed it in there. Be Our Guest for the theming. Probably a one and done on a personal level. But yeah, really enjoyed it in there as well. So those, I think, are the three standouts.
Interesting you say about sci-fi dining. A lot of people say it's a great atmosphere and great theming, but the food's a bit meh. But you're like,
well, I think we've just gone. Yeah, so they just relaunched the menu. So I think maybe we got them on a good day, possibly. But I really enjoyed it.
And where did you stay on your last trip or last couple of trips?
So we go for the Good Neighbor Hotel. So the first time we stayed at, it's a Homewood Suites, Lake Buena Vista. So that didn't have any of the Good Neighbor perks or anything. But, you know, it's right by Disney Springs. So You kind of had the ease of the location. And second time around, we were actually in Disney Springs, so we're at B Resort, so we got, you know, early entry, all of those perks. But yeah, great. Being within walking distance of all the restaurants and shops at Disney Springs, you actually feel, I mean, not as much I'd expect as if you're in a resort, but you feel that atmosphere and like you're on property kind of thing. So yeah, really enjoyed being there. And it's like the gateway as well to Disney, isn't it? It's the first hotel on Hotel Boulevard if you come in, so you really feel like, you know, you are part of the magic,
and you're not paying the premium prices that you would pay if you stayed at an actual Disney resort, but like you say, you're staying on property and it's a Good Neighbor Hotel. What are the perks again? So you still get the 30 minutes early access and things like that?
That's it, yeah. And they organized their own transportation that kind of fed into Disney transportation, so you had that connection a lot more than when we stayed completely off-site. Yeah, so you had like all the theming from Disney World as well. So you have like droids in the lobby and have a photo up with one of the teacups as well from Fantasyland. So yeah, just really felt more like a Disney hotel, even though it's not, like you say, you're paying the premium for a Disney resort.
So how did you get around then? So they put on free transport to the parks?
Yeah, so they organise transport to all four of the parks every hour. So not as frequent as Disney transportation. But then, you know, if it didn't work with your schedule, you could walk to Disney Springs, get a bus to resort, and then get in that way, get on the Skyliner or something. So, yeah, incredibly easy. You felt like you were properly connected, which is obviously a massive selling point when you're picking a hotel.
And then when you left the parks at night, did you jump on a bus to Disney Springs or did you get the bus back to the hotel? How did that work?
Well, we got the bus back to the hotel, but we found that they didn't work with the closing time. So I remember leaving Magic Kingdom at 11 o'clock after the second showing of the fireworks and just being stood out in the car park for, it must have been about 50 minutes by the time the bus arrived. So I think that's a learning point for next time, that if we do that, get to Disney Springs and then walk even at the dead of night, because waiting around in that heat at night isn't something I'm planning to experience again anytime soon.
How did you find the Orlando weather? Did it rain?
What's the word I used quite often? I think it was torturous in terms of humidity.
Yeah.
Did feel a little bit like we were being cooked, but listen, it's Florida at the end of July. We knew what we were getting into. We only had the one storm, luckily, or one storm while we were at the parks anyway, which was at Magic Kingdom. And it just came out of nowhere. We were outside Casey's Corner and you got a little bit of a warning sign in that you had some light rain, but there were no ominous clouds or anything. So quickly got to Pirates of the Caribbean for shelter in the line, did the ride, came out. Obviously, storm was 10 times worse because of course it was going to be. And tried to inch our way around to get to our lightning lanes. Got to Haunted Mansion, no poncho, queue for Lightning Lanes all the way past the gate. That was never going to happen. So, yeah, that is where the weather kind of cost us. But, yeah, that was the only storm we really experienced. We saw a bit of lightning in the distance, but we got incredibly lucky, all things considered.
So, November or summer? When's the best weather and which was the busiest?
Oh, November. November for the weather, July for the crowds. We didn't find a happy medium there. So November, obviously we had Thanksgiving, so completely rammed. Mm. Lines ridiculously long, people everywhere. And then that leads into Christmas and you get the Christmas parties in the evening. So suddenly there's a load more people straight after Thanksgiving. July, I don't know if it's because it's kind of the end of the American summer holiday kind of thing. It seemed a bit quieter. But again, you had to cope with the weather, which isn't something I would recommend.
Back with Callum in just a moment. We'll find out more about his recent experiences with Genie Plus on his latest trip. Let's get some updates from stuff that's been going on in Walt Disney World. We've now got dates for this year's Festival of the Arts. I say this year's, next year's Festival of the Arts. The Epcot International Festival of the Arts will open on January the 13th, runs through till February the 20th. Lots of food studios. There's going to be a new Figment Inspiration Station at the Odyssey. Also, Disney on Broadway, the concert series with loads of talented entertainers who've been in Disney shows performing songs from Disney musicals. It's going to be on from the 13th of January. And also, if you're heading over to Florida very soon and you're brave enough to go to the water parks, because the temperature will start to drop very soon, Blizzard Beach will reopen on the 13th of November, and it's got a little bit of a Frozen makeover, which, to be honest, makes a lot of sense. It's been closed for a while, but for the first time in forever, the water park will include touches from the popular Disney film Frozen. You may even spot some snowgies. For more updates and news from the parks, make sure you're following us on the socials, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, at PodMagical. Callum's on the podcast. Let's talk about Genie Plus. So you used it on your last couple of trips. How did you find it? And did you pick up any little tips?
So the first time we did it kind of ad hoc, which is obviously the way you have to do it now. So we did it for a few days. Second time around, we thought that it was probably a better idea to pre-book it so that we had it for every day. Made everything incredibly stress-free, I found.
Yeah.
There was no rush to get into lines to make sure that we ticked off all of the rides that we wanted to do. So getting up at 7 a.m., booking in that first big ticket, Lightning Lane, feels a little bit of a struggle right at the start of the morning. But yeah, it just meant that we didn't have to worry about getting around. We could plan our day around it. So stacking Lightning Lanes, which is obviously a tip I learned from the podcast, was a big help. Getting up at 7, waiting a couple of minutes, trying to get one later in the day for a big ticket, and then every 2 hours from park opening, obviously just adding on. So it meant that we had more of an itinerary, which
yeah.
I think for me is probably the best way to do a day, because then you can be more spontaneous with food, with other experiences. If you see a line that's, I don't know, under 40 minutes or so and you can fit it in, you can go, okay, well, we can afford to do this. We know that we've got our Lightning Lane. So yeah, we can be kind of flexible.
Did you tend to stick your Lightning Lanes for like around the same time in the afternoon, say?
Yeah, I think when we go in July, obviously the heat is phenomenal. So you want to get a break in the middle of the day at the hotel in the air conditioning. So we'd stack those for kind of, I think, 3 or 4 onwards, and then build those throughout the evening so that we'd have a definite block of rides that we could go on when we came back.
Yeah.
But again, we did both kind of approaches. So the spontaneous, right, this one's available now, let's go for it. Or this one's going to be available at park open. We're not going to get a better chance to go on it, let's book it. So something like Test Track at Epcot, for example, that one had to be early doors because they go like hotcakes.
Yeah, yeah.
So yeah, it's kind of being prepared to adapt, I think, is the key with Genie Plus. Judging the parks from your first couple of days, working out how the Lightning Lanes go, the distribution, that kind of thing. But for a couple of days, you pick it up so easily.
And what is your favourite attraction? You got a favourite ride? I'm guessing you've been on Guardians. Is it going to be Guardians?
Oh, it's Guardians. It has to be. 3 times we got on there. 2 times with the virtual queue, and then the last time we did the paid for Lightning Lane because we couldn't leave without going on it at least one more time. Absolutely incredible, isn't it? The level of detail, the innovation, and also the soundtrack. I'm guessing Everyone says the soundtrack is the major selling point. I just wanted to, you know, hit those kind of big hits. So we have Blondie, we had Disco Inferno, and we had September, which I think, you know, are three good ones. I was praying for Tears for Fears the last time around, but it is what it is.
Tears for Fears feels like the ride slows down when it's Tears for Fears, when it's Everybody Wants to Rule the World. I found Blondie was the best one. I've had about four songs when I've done it out of the six, but Blondie.
I quite like Blondie, but it was so fast. Like, I felt that we weren't really taking in the storyline of the ride. So we got back to the UK. We sat down and like, hang on, do you remember what actually happened on the ride, other than being thrown around incredibly quickly? So Tears for Fears, I think, might make you concentrate a little bit more. But yeah, absolutely love Guardians. And an honourable mention, by the way, to Big Thunder Mountain. Because November, first time around, never been a big roller coaster person. So we kind of took it a bit slowly. Went to Disneyland Paris in February. Got talked onto Big Thunder Mountain. Hooked. So Big Thunder Mountain was my kind of segue into Guardians. So if it wasn't for that, I'd have never had my three rides.
So you kind of built yourself up then, if you're not a fan of roller coasters.
Absolutely, yeah. So Big Thunder Mountain at Paris, I was like, okay, that was fine. So when we get to Magic Kingdom, obviously first port of call, Disney World's Big Thunder Mountain.
Yeah.
Like, great, brilliant. And then, yeah, done them all now. Even got on Space Mountain, which in November, I thought would never, ever happen. Not in a million years. And now I'm desperate to go back on it. So yeah, Big Thunder Mountain gets a massive shout out.
A lot of people say that the Paris Big Thunder Mountain is actually better than the one in Florida.
Well, that's what I heard. So having gone on it, and I was speaking to someone else, and I was like, yeah, not a big roller coaster person, but I went on Big Thunder Mountain in Paris. So I could probably do the one in Florida. Like, if you've done the one in Paris, it's so much better and more intense, I think was the word used. That obviously Disney World is a walk in the park when you go back. So yeah, the one in Paris is a very different. But,
yeah.
See, brilliant.
Was there anything you don't like at Disney World? Was there any negatives you came back with?
Now, I had a big think about this because I was like, there's not many things that jump out to me. But then the penny drops and I remembered one thing that I'm never, ever doing again. Some of the older Disney transportation buses, no air conditioning, end of July, packed, rammed. We got one bus to Port Orleans and it was the sweatiest I have ever been in my life. So that is the overwhelming negative from Disney World. Just some of those older buses were horrendous.
I have a feeling you're probably not going to go again in summer.
No, no.
Yeah.
What gave that away?
I don't know. I just get a feeling.
I thought I was being quite subtle about it.
Did you venture outside Disney, go to anywhere else in Orlando? Did you have time?
So in November, we did Universal as well.
Yeah.
Well, like I said, not really a big roller coaster person at the time. So it's a lot of obviously simulator-based rides, but the theming there was great. So yeah, loved going around Diagon Alley. Obviously big kind of Harry Potter nerd as a kid. So that was great. Didn't see much else of Orlando. We did plan to go to Gideon's Bakehouse, but the downtown location this time around.
Oh yeah.
But then got there on a quiet day on Disney Springs. So like, okay, well, we've done it now.
But, so you didn't need to.
Yeah, that was the plan. Exactly. Yeah. The plan was to venture a bit further afield, but you know, it's like when you do such a kind of hectic day at the parks.
Yeah, you don't have time.
Yeah, absolutely.
How was Gideon's? What did you have? Did it live up to the hype?
It absolutely lived up to the hype. So I went quite plain with just, you know, your standard. I was about to say boring, but it doesn't really work for Gideon's.
There's nothing
milk
boring
chocolate
at Gideon's
shit to start with. And I went for the seasonal option or the cookie of the month kind of thing, which was, from memory, like a blood orange pecan cookie thing.
Okay.
So that was unbelievably good. And a slice of cookies and cream cake, I think it was. Some kind of Oreo themed contraption. But yeah, unbelievably good. And
two
the theming
cookies
as well.
And a cake. Two cookies and a cake.
What an effort. That's just my half, by the way. My girlfriend also got two cookies. So four in total. And it was hot cookie hour. So that was a temptation that we somehow resisted. I don't know how, and I immensely regret it. But yeah, we were in there for hot cookie hour.
Right, I've only ever heard about hot cookie hour. I've never been. When is hot cookie hour? How do we find it? Is it busier around hot cookie hour?
Pure luck was how we found it, is the answer to that from my side. It didn't seem that busy. I don't know if it ramped up. I think we were there right at the start because it's kind of like going into 7 o'clock, I think. And you start to notice people leaving with boxes that are open and faces covered in ice cream. You're like, okay, this is interesting. This wasn't happening 5 minutes ago. So I don't know if that kind of caused the queue to ramp up. They were there ready to sign people into the virtual queue, but we just got straight into a queue and stood there the traditional way. So I don't know. It's this mythical hot cookie hour must have ramped it up after we parted ways.
Yeah. Gideon's Bakehouse, Disney Springs, hot cookie hour. Make put it on your list. So you're going to have your perfect Walt Disney World day, Callum. Talk me through it.
I've been brainstorming this for quite a few hours because there are a lot of things to cram in. So we've got Genie Plus. That's the opening point.
Yeah.
You get your prime lightning lane at 7 a.m.
Okay. Where are you staying, by the way? Where are you pitching up?
And this is tricky because we haven't done the resort. So I want to do something like the Contemporary just because it's, you know, it's so quintessentially Disney.
Right.
That I'd like to be there, walking distance to the Magic Kingdom, okay. Just go via the walkway. So we're at the Contemporary.
Yep.
Prime Lightning Lane at 7 a.m. So if we're doing Magic Kingdom, probably for me, that's going to be a Big Thunder Mountain or a Space Mountain. Walk up the walkway, rope drop, Seven Dwarfs Mine Train. If this is the ideal Disney day, the queue isn't ridiculously long. I mean, it's pure fantasy, but it's fantasy man, so that's what it's all about, isn't it? Then I've got kind of two options for breakfast. I'm caught in two minds, so I'm just going to throw them both at you.
Okay.
The first one that came to mind was getting the breakfast waffle at Sleepy Hollow, which is absolutely incredible.
With the Nutella and the bananas and the strawberries.
Absolutely. Everything in there, all the fruit, all the Nutella. Brilliant.
Yeah.
But my second choice is the Ohana breakfast. Now, I know there's no characters at the moment, but I'm not a big character person anyway, and it's all you care to enjoy, just breakfast food. So that one would probably have to be a flip of a coin on the day. But those are my breakfast options.
I've not done breakfast at Ohana, so I can't help you out there, but I've had the waffle and it's good. Not the cinnamon roll at Gaston's.
Not for me. Not for me. Right. Maybe we made the mistake of not asking for extra icing when we went, but I'm not a big cinnamon roll person anyway. So maybe I need to do it again, but with the icing. That's the key. So breakfast is done.
Yep.
Then, obviously, we're going to be quite full. So I think a little bit of a chill kind of couple of hours, maybe People Mover, Pirates of the Caribbean, take it slow. Then, by the way, this is during the Food and Wine Festival at Epcot. This is quite important for the next bit. So we're going to park up over to Epcot on the monorail, have a little walk around World Showcase, maybe grab the chicken wings were fantastic at Food and Wine. So there, the mimosas, the flight from Shimmering Sips. I am still longing for another one of those.
Right.
So I'll have one of those. We're creeping into the afternoon here, so it's fine. It's permissible. And then got to get some funnel cake as well over by the American Adventure.
Okay. Can I quickly ask you a question? When you go to World Showcase, which way round are we going? Are we going or Canada?
We're going Mexico. We're going clockwise.
Correct.
Traditionalist.
Yeah.
Nothing else. So, yeah, we've got the funnel cake. We're American Adventure. We're coming back over. We'll get the boat at this point. And we will Lightning Lane Cosmic Rewind. It's all been pre-booked. I did it at 7 o'clock when I was booking the Lightning Lane for Magic Kingdom.
Yeah.
So we're on, exactly. I like my organization. So we're on Cosmic Rewind. We do that. At that point, the heat is ridiculous. Have I mentioned I don't like heat?
You mentioned that, yeah, briefly.
Once or twice, yeah. So we do Cosmic Rewind, and then we'll go back to the hotel, chill by a pool for a bit, enjoy a swim. Then we've got the fireworks party booked for the evening at Magic Kingdom at 8 o'clock. So we go and do that. You know, all the desserts we care to enjoy. A couple of sparkling apple cider, Martinelli sparkling apple cider. And then this is a night with two fireworks shows, by the way. We go and ride Seven Dwarfs Mine Train during the 11 o'clock show and watch the fireworks as you go up the lift hill.
Yeah.
And then we're off to bed.
Back at the Contemporary. Done. Did you have you done dessert party at the fireworks?
Yeah, so we did it last time around. That last bit was actually taken from our fireworks day. So we did the desserts party at 8. Ate far too many desserts, drank probably too much.
Yeah.
And then came out, went and queued up for Seven Dwarfs Mine Train right as the park closed. And yeah, fireworks going off as we went round. Incredible.
That's perfect, isn't it?
And we only queued for about 20 minutes, I think it was, because obviously it's right at the close of the park.
Yeah, it quietens down a little bit. And was the dessert party worth it, do you think? Because they're quite expensive, like over $100 each now.
Yeah, it's tricky. When you see the price, you're like, right, this is a challenge now. I've got to get in there and make sure that we guess our money's worth. It's all right. It's all right. The desserts are great, but I found that perhaps I didn't get my money's worth.
Right.
I mean, they're so sickly. You you have a plate, but obviously you get a plate full of everything to start with. You're like, this is brilliant. I'll be here until they have to literally roll me out. And you finish that plate and you're like, I cannot go back up there because the sight of another chilling chamber pot is probably going to turn my stomach, which isn't a sentence anyone should ever say.
They do need a little bit more savoury on that. I know it's a dessert party, but like, you know, a few vol-au-vents and a sausage roll and, you know, just
absolutely
tick that box. And which one did you do? Did you do the one where you watch the fireworks, then have desserts? Or did you sit and watch the desserts and have fireworks at the same time? Which one did you do?
So we did the first one. So we watched the fireworks before. So yes. We got there nice and early. I think we were the first people kind of allowed into the hub. Got our prime location right at the front. Did that. Got some food from Casey's Corner that we could just obviously walk straight over. Prime viewing position and then straight into the party. So I think that's the best option, isn't it? The seats, you're at an angle from Tomorrowland Terrace. So you can't see the projections as well. You don't feel like you are front and center, because I mean, you're not front and center. Yeah. And doing the desserts beforehand, I felt you're the last people into the viewing area. Doesn't seem like the best value for money for me. So no, we did fireworks before.
And it's a bit cheaper. I think it's the cheaper one as well, isn't it?
It is. It's better value for money.
So have you got another trip planned? Obviously, you've done two in a year. Are you leaving it for a while, or when are you thinking of going back?
It's all a little bit up in the air at the moment. I would like to do it around Halloween time. So pre-COVID, we had tickets for Mickey's Not-So-Scary Halloween Party, which was going to be, I think, like the day before Halloween, October 2020.
Yeah.
So I'd love to finally get over to that. So maybe next Halloween. I think that's the option at the front of my mind at the moment. But I said last time it would be another couple of years pre-July, and it took, 7 months. So
and you went
who
back.
Knows?
Stay out of the heat next time. You know, October, you'll be fine. And
what? It's hot in Florida, sorry.
It gets quite warm, especially in summer. Have a magical day!
And you, have a magical day.
Fancy being a podcast guest like Callum? We're looking for guests now for next year. I know, can you believe that? From like February onwards. But do drop me a line, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, Pod Magical. Maybe going over Christmas, New Year, we could get you when you're back and we could talk about that. Make sure you've given us a 5-star review as well. Hit that subscribe button because we've got a brand new podcast coming out every other Friday. If you're going to Walt Disney World, temperatures, weather-wise, quite nice, actually. You're kind of like looking around the mid-20s for us, or the high 70s, low 80s, as they call it. Crowds shouldn't be too bad. This weekend, crowds will be busy if you're going this weekend because we got the Disney Wine and Dine Half Marathon. It always gets really busy around marathons. That's because the Epcot International Food and Wine Festival is on for another couple of weeks. Mickey's Very Merry Christmas Parties have started now. Then the Festival of the Holidays will start at Epcot at the end of November. So Thanksgiving, which is the last Thursday of November, it's like the 24th. And then the day after that, that's when the International Festival of the Holidays starts. And then you've got holidays at Universal with Grinchmas and things like that. So it's going to start getting very festive. Now that Halloween's out of the way, it's going to be getting very festive over there. Top tip for this episode, measure your kids. This is like a really old and obvious tip, but a lot of people don't do it. And sometimes it can lead to tears and tantrums. So you can go onto the Walt Disney World website and have a look at the height requirements for all the rides. Because if you've got a little one who wants to go on Seven Dwarfs Mine Train and you get there and they're not tall enough and their hopes and expectations have been built, it's not going to be a very magical day over there. So measure your kids, keep measuring them, check those height requirements on the website so we don't get any tears and tantrums at the entrance to the attractions. If you've got any tips, of course, do let me know. You can share them with me, Facebook, Twitter, TikTok, Instagram, at PodMagical. We're back with a brand new episode 2 weeks from now. So until then, please stand clear of the doors.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.